As all of you know, one of the foundational elements of our congregational Christian faith is the focus and the study of God's Word. We read our Bibles and we carefully examine the message verse by verse. But one of the things we need to learn to do is that we need to step back. Sometimes we need to look at the Scripture on a broader basis. Look at the forest, not just the trees. It helps us, I think, to better understand the writers and their purposes when they wrote this so long ago. So when one steps back and looks at the gospel, we notice that the primary way of telling the story of Jesus is as a journey. You see this in all of the Gospels, but in the Gospel of Mark in particular. Mark is always showing Jesus on the way to somewhere else. He tells the story of Jesus at a breathless tempo. Now, the image one gets of Jesus' disciples is of a group of people who are always breathlessly trying to catch up. Always one step behind Jesus as he moves on to a new place. I love the way Mark describes the calling of Jesus' disciples in today's lesson. A couple of the disciples are at work one day. They're bent over their nets, working on them. And while they're working, they saw a man walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now Mark says that when they heard this, they stopped. They stopped everything that they were doing. They left their father, and they went trudging right after Jesus. Now that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. One might have thought that they would have asked, well, who are you? Maybe they knew. Or at least one would say, okay, fine, but where are we going? But the way Mark presents it, they asked none of that. They just stumbled after Jesus. Maybe that's exactly the way it happened. Mark gives us that image of discipleship throughout his gospel. For him, discipleship is following Jesus on a journey without ever really knowing exactly who he is or precisely where he's going. Now, the other episode in Mark is when the disciples are in a boat on the sea. And the storm comes in, the sea gets ugly, as it's known to do there. And it appears that the boat is going to be swamped and everyone drowned. But who should they see out on the water but Jesus? Now, Mark tells us, interestingly enough, that he was walking past the disciples, that he really didn't intend to stop. He isn't coming out there to pull them out of the boat. He's just, it seems, out for a stroll. Jesus is always on the move. And think about the end of Mark. We didn't read that lesson this morning, but it's one you're familiar with. The end of Mark, where the women came to the tomb on Easter morning. But by the time they get there, they're greeted by a young man in white. A young man who tells them, "You're looking for Jesus? Oh, sorry, you just missed him." Isn't that typical of the way of our Lord? Just about the time we are to get the point, almost ready to catch up with him, he's on his way to somewhere else. It's a journey that is an adventure. One of the things that makes a journey an adventure is when we don't know the destination. We have a word for that. Coming from the name of a ship in a story about a group of adventurers. And the word is serendipity. It means making a surprising discovery while on a journey somewhere else. Mark ends his gospel with the women at the tomb, shocked that Jesus is not there. He's going before them into Galilee. Now that sums up the entire experience, it seems, with Jesus. Just when they get there, he's already moved on to somewhere else. Now, originally, when we look at what the scholars have said, originally that is where the gospel ends. With the woman standing there by the end of the tomb, stupefied and amazed. And Jesus has moved on. I think that's Mark's way of saying to his readers that because of Easter, the journey's not over. We certainly thought that on Good Friday and the cross, that led to the end of the story. That death had the final word. But no, we come to the tomb, only to find that Jesus is not there. He's moved on. And the journey continues. So when we think about faithful discipleship, we don't need to be thinking about getting our heads straight on a fundamental list of beliefs. Don't think about discipleship as memorizing a whole string of Bible verses. Think about discipleship as a journey with Jesus. Now, this is a story that each of us is finishing for ourselves. For each of us is tagging along behind Jesus, being surprised by him, trying to figure out what he said at the last stop. Being amazed at the places where God leads us on this adventure. Let me say a few more things about this journey of faith. As most of you know, Kathy and I took part of a week after the national meeting for some vacation time with my kids at Disney World. The key to that trip was the journey. It was being there together. The journey we took together was not just a trip to Disney World. It was about being together. The journey with Christ also is not just an adventure. It's a relationship. You're not following a set of laws, not trudging along behind a set of beliefs. You're walking with God. Christianity is not so much a set of intellectual propositions that you have to affirm as a member of this church or any church. Rather, it's a relationship with someone else. And you don't know what turns that relationship may take. For me, vacation always means going somewhere. It's near impossible for me to take vacation time at home. Same thing in some ways is true of our faith. A journey implies some sort of movement from here to there. The long journey of faith is one of giving up the old ways. It's one of growth, one of surprise. God accepts me just as I am, as we'll sing later. God accepts me where I am, but he doesn't leave me there. Even on my journey of faith, it's always on the move. There are bound to be times when we wonder if we're getting anywhere in our journey of faith, especially. Anytime one drives on the Los Angeles freeway system, there are times when one wonders that same thing. Are we getting anywhere? It's funny because sometimes you look down, you go, oh, at least we're moving, and you're going 5 miles an hour. You could walk there faster. You get the feeling we're never going to get there. And that works with our faith too. As with any journey, there are times when we wonder if our faith journey is working for us, if we're on the right path. We have setbacks, we have long stretches of boredom and burnout when the scenery of our faith journey is just not that interesting. But on the journey of faith, there will be peaks and there will be valleys. What we need to do is to just keep moving. There's an old Taoist saying, the journey is the reward. And there's real truth in that. As we follow Jesus on our journey of faith. For this church, it may be some very threatening things in our future. As we try to change to meet the differences of the world today as compared to the church of the 1950s and 60s. As we grow closer to God, as we learn from God, as we grow closer to one another, riding out the highs and the lows of our journey of faith, we need to listen to see where we need to go as a church. We're going to realize somewhere along the way that we're better people for having walked this journey so far. So I'm excited. A new church year is opening before us. I'm excited to walk this journey of faith with you and to see where God leads. Amen.